You're listening to Spokespeople.
Hi, podcast listeners. This is Zoe.
And this is Becca.
And we host the Spokespeople storytelling events.
This is the podcast of the true stories told live at our monthly storytelling shows in the San Francisco Bay Area.
The story you're about to hear, told by Allie Dineen, comes from our December 2012 show, When It Rains, It Pours.
Enjoy!
I'm going to translate her first-person bio into the third-person. Hopefully that works out. Allie Dineen hails from New York City, from the beloved borough of Queens, and finished up college last spring at Bard, where she studied art and was fascinated by narrative and its role in our everyday lives. She moved out to California in September and has been working building sets at a theater, writing sometimes, biking other times, playing music, eating fruit, and ice cream. Please welcome Allie.
And if you want, you can use the stool.
Hi. So, let's see. When I heard the theme for this week's stories, When It Rains, It Pours, the first thing that came to mind was not sex for me. It was it was more hard times, like when things are really bad and it just seems like they couldn't get any worse and then somehow they do. I think that's because that's how I've heard that phrase used the most. But for this week, the main reason I wanted to come do this was I wanted to try and tell a story from a period of time in my life that happened recently that for some reason I've had a lot of trouble sort of putting down into stories I can tell people. And that was this past summer, myself and my two best friends decided to bike across the country from New York to California. And it felt like the whole time we were out there, it felt like some force was kind of watching out for us, or we were in sync with some fabric of the universe that just made sure that things were really good. That when it rained, it poured, but in the opposite meaning of those words from what I said before, that like when the stars were out, they were shooting. And when we found a beach to camp on, like it was warm enough that we could just sleep out without a tent. And that when we went to Dairy Queen and asked for free ice cream, which we did probably like once a week at least, they gave us not only like not just free kitty cones or something, but like three blizzards, you know. We made bank at Dairy Queen. They were unofficial sponsors for the trip. I really like ice cream, so in case it's not clear. So the story I want to tell is from one day, which is the day on which it rained the hardest the entire trip. And it takes place in Idaho. We were on the moon. We're actually at Craters of the Moon National Monument, which is not quite the moon, but it's this crazy place. Yeah, Idaho. It's this crazy national park, kind of, that is these old volcanoes that erupted thousands of years ago just left all this lava that's since hardened and become like this craggy, black, crumbly rock that you can just crawl over and even crawl into, because there's these holes that open up and then you can crawl down into them and crawl through these tunnels filled with bats and like dripping water, and it's like kind of spooky but amazing. So we were out there walking around on a hike, crawled into some tunnels, scared some people, didn't expect us coming, you know, classic style on the moon. And we came back out and started headed back to the rest stop where we parked our bikes, the bathrooms, and it started to drizzle. And we were like, all right, that's cool. Like, we've seen some rain. We'd biked through some serious rain before. It was okay. We could handle it. And it was really cool because, you know, when, like, rain hits asphalt and there's that smell in the air that's like rain's coming. It was like that, but times a billion because it was hitting all this pumice stone. So it smelled good. It was great. The storm clouds look cool. Idaho's beautiful. So we were like, this is fine. And as we're walking back, it starts raining harder. By the time we get to the rest stop, it's pouring, fully pouring. And so we like crouch under the overhang outside the bathroom. We're like, what should we do? I don't know if we should keep let's just wait here for a bit. We have some peanut butter, which we always had a lot of peanut butter. So it's like, pass me a tortilla, give me some peanut butter. And we're like throwing it. Like Logan was in the boys' one, and me and Jocelyn were in the girls' one. We were just like tossing tortillas at him, you know, snacking. And then realized after like 20 minutes of this that we needed to leave because it's getting ridiculous. And the rain wasn't stopping. So we got our bikes and hit the road, and we were the only people on the road at this point because all the cars had bailed and everybody else had left and headed for the visitor center, which was only 2 miles away. So we were like, we'll make it. It's okay. And we're biking, and we start, you know, we feel the heavy thuds of the rain on our bodies and realize that those raindrops have slowly become sharp pellets, like bullets coming out of the sky. I'm from New York City. There aren't hailstorms there. There's thunderstorms, but not hailstorms, and not horizontal hailstorms. So what had happened is the rain had gone from this to And we're like biking full force against 15 mile an hour wind, and you don't want to open your eyes, but you don't want to close them. You'll get hit, but you need to look where you're going. And we were just like screaming at the top of our lungs, trying to match the energy of this storm that had descended upon us. It took us like 20 minutes to make it 2 miles back to the visitor center. And finally, we reached shelter there. We stayed inside, and there were a few other people hanging out. There was this chick that kind of looked like a vampire, and she revealed to us that she actually drew blood as part of her profession. She was a nurse's practitioner and was an artist, and had managed to combine the two and painted people's portraits in their own blood. So that was that was cool. vampire lady. So Twilight. We waited around a bit longer, and the rain finally stopped. So we're like, we got to get out of here. Because we had a place to get to. Because earlier in that day, this was such a crazy day, so many things happened. We went to Arco, Idaho, which is this tiny town. It's the first town powered by atomic energy in the United States. Arco. Who knew? Atomic energy is really big in Idaho. It's a big state, so there's a lot of room for doing weird stuff out in the middle of nowhere and not have to tell anybody about it. And this, the weekend that we were in Arco happened to be the weekend of Atomic Power Festival, where they celebrate the fact that they were the first atomic-powered town in the country with, like, food and music and stuff. So we went to the park, and we're always hungry, and there was a food truck selling these huge taco plates for, like, $3. And this guy sitting there was like, you're not going to be able to finish that. They're huge. Good luck. And we were like, oh, watch me. So we all ordered taco plates, started talking to the truck drivers, and quickly they realized that we were bottomless pits and that we would eat anything that really was available to us. And they're like, well, the festival's over, so we have all this leftover food. You guys look like the perfect disposal units for it. So they sent us off with like huge bags of lettuce and tomatoes and pulled pork, because they had all this pulled pork for pulled pork sandwiches. So we were just biking around with these enormous Ziploc bags full of homemade pulled pork. And they had told us, when you hit mile marker 215, after craters, after all that stuff, look on the side of the road, and you'll see a turnoff, and there'll be a car parked there, and you'll probably see some dude in his boxers out on the roadside, because there's a hot springs there. So go to the hot springs. And sure enough, we started biking after craters, and a couple flats later, some frustration, we look at mile marker 215, there's a turnoff, car parked, some dude in his boxers and a chick in a bikini, and we were like, okay, we hit the hot springs. We made it. So we led our bikes over this still volcanic rock and made it to this incredible hot springs that was just this pool, kind of green with steam rising off of it. And we just lay there floating in the hot springs, this Idaho sunset all around us, which is unlike any other sunset I've seen. I think it's because there's so much space for the sunset to spread out. So it's not these big, vibrant colors like you get here, but just a gradual pastel sunset covering the whole sky and stars rising in back of you. And, of course, eventually Logan had to break out the pulled pork. So the story ends with us sitting in the sunset in the hot springs eating pulled pork sandwiches. I have a song that's about the trip, and I've been wanting to play it for a while. And, sometimes it's hard to put the trip into words, and this is kind of the best way that I've been able to do it. So here goes. I had the ukulele with me the whole time, which is why it's busted.
The valley's behind us. As we take one last look at our lovers, tell her you love her. The country awaits us, all those states and the cities before us. Dance in our minds, wide, wild eyes, we are seeking the sea. Sweet like honey and slick on our thoughts long ago. Over this land, till the soil turns to sand. With your laugh dancing just ahead of me, with your blood pumping just as steadily as the song rising up inside of me, deep in my chest. It was high, my skin it baked, my throat it cracked, my And that great big beast pulled at my body till I thought that it would break. This country's so long, it took somebody 4,000 miles to make it and 68 days to move across it. And if there was fear, I guess we lost it somewhere out there in the mountains and the meadows and the skies, overwhelmed by stars. So full to their edges, they looked like they might burst, tear open and fall onto our bodies below. So tired, so weary, in love so small. And if this is a story that I can never really sing, at least you were there with me for the whole thing.
Wow, thank you, Allie. Hold on. That was really beautiful. I think moving forward, we might make it a requirement that there be like heartfelt musical codas to all stories accompanied by cute instruments.
Thanks to Allie for sharing that story and to Actual Cafe for providing the space.
Audio production for this podcast was by Ian Ratzer, with content management by Sarah Bars and photography by Chris Koster.
If you liked this story, join us for our monthly live show in the San Francisco Bay Area. Learn more by visiting spokespeople.org. That's spokespeople.org.
Or chirp at us on Facebook and like us on Twitter.
That's not right.
Whatever.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.